Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Happy Monday. Headlines on Softy and Dick, of course, are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
That's two in a row. That's called a winning streak. It has happened before.
By the way, if you're looking for spring training tickets for Arizona, my buddy Anthony Bayrudy has them on the website right now at VenueKings.com. All right, Seahawk news. Carlos Dunlap, 5 sacks in 8 games with the Hawks a year ago, released today, clearing $14 million in cap space for the Seahawks. He is now available to sign with anybody he wants in the NFL.
Giannis Antetokounmpo finished with 35 on a perfect 16 for 16 from the field in Team LeBron's easy win in the All-Star game. Domantas Sabonis, your skills challenge champion. Steph Curry wins the three-point shootout. Portland's Anfernee Simons won the dunk contest.
A lot of coverage for the NBA All-Star game. You watched the whole thing yesterday?
Watched the entire thing.
Do you think a lot of people watched the whole thing? No? We'll talk about that. UW football, Puka Nacua, transfer portal, he's gone. Third UW wide receiver to take off this offseason, joining Ty Jones, who went to Fresno, and Jordan Shin, who went to Sacramento State. Puka, by the way, will join us in about 20 minutes right here on Softy and Dick.
Husky basketball team will face 7-seed Utah, 4 o'clock Wednesday in the Pac-12 tournament first round. You can hear it right here on 950 KJR.
And if they win that game, they play USC Thursday at 5:30 right here on KJR. And speaking of basketball, one game tonight, the top 25, it's the WCCCC semifinals. Gonzaga versus St. Mary's from the Orleans Arena in Vegas at 6 p.m. tonight.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live. 41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, 3:02, Monday afternoon. Softy and Dick hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight. Lots and lots and lots and lots of topics to get to on the radio show. I just love the shows where it kind of, when you wake up in the morning, I'm up at like 6 a.m. every day. I have no idea what time you're getting out of bed.
Not at 6.
I'm rolling up way early these days, man. You know, jumping online at Denny's for the early bird special. Used to make fun of people. Used to make fun of old people for getting up early and going to bed at like 8 o'clock at night. Now I'm that guy.
Are you doing King's Buffet dinner at like 5:45?
No, not doing that yet. Not doing the King's Buffet. But, you know, if it's a Saturday or Sunday and I'm not working, I could have dinner at 3:30 or 4 o'clock and be in bed by 7 o'clock at night. So when you wake up and what you think you're going to talk about is not at all what you end up talking about at 3 o'clock on the radio show. Because who knew between 6 a.m. and 3 p.m. that Carlos Dunlap... And by the way, I'm doing that for Shockey's benefit. A little inside joke there. Who knew that Carlos Dunlap would get released? And who knew that Puka Nacua would enter the transfer portal? So we're going to talk to Puka, as a matter of fact, in about 17 minutes. He'll join us at 3:20 on the radio show and talk about his decision. But the Carlos Dunlap thing, is that getting annoying, by the way, when I do that? Carlos Dunlap.
One or two more times is about all I got.
Dunlap thing. I think people are kind of missing the boat on this because... Look, obviously, it's kind of in vogue now for people to slam the Seahawks, right? For every move they make. It seems like every move they make, every rumor that's out there, oh, well, here we go again. They don't know what they're doing. Pete Carroll's time has passed them by. Schneider's out of control. These guys are going down the toilet. They've become morons. So I certainly get that. And let's face it, some of the moves that they've made have justified that reaction. There's no question about it. But the Carlos Dunlap thing... I don't think is one of them. I am assuming that Carlos Dunlap has an offer right now from the Seahawks.
I would agree with that.
And there's no way he was coming back for $14 million next year. Not a chance in hell the Hawks are paying him $14 million. So if he has an offer right now, why would Carlos Dunlap just take that before free agency starts in 9 days from now and not go out and test the market when, let's face it, there's always a dearth of quality edge rushers available anyway. He's one of them. He can go out and test the market, go back to the Hawks and say, hey, the Bengals are offering me this, or the Eagles, or whoever, the Lions, whatever. Pick a team. Probably not the Bengals, by the way. I don't see him going right back there. But Team X is offering me this. Can you match it? And if they say no, they say no. But is there a chance that the Seahawks could bring Carlos Dunlap back and that $14 million they just cleared under the cap, they could get him and somebody else? Or him and a couple of players on top of that. So, look, I think this whole story, we have to see how this plays out. But there was not a chance in hell the Hawks were bringing him back for $14 million. You knew that. I knew that. Dunlap knew that. Dunlap's parents knew that. John Schneider knew that. Schneider's parents knew that. Pete Carroll knew that. Everybody knew that. So why are people up in arms right now if they just made a move that everybody expected to happen?
I think you nailed it, because it is chic to make fun of a general manager and a coach that all they do is win double-digit games every year, which is it's been bizarre to me for years. It will continue to be bizarre as long as Pete Carroll and John Schneider are in control of this team. But, you know, I understand the frustration that there hasn't been deep playoff runs. I get that.
Yeah, of course.
They're still an elite general manager head coach combo. Elite. Not good. Not very good. Elite. I mean, Jackson on Friday went through a couple of trades that they were able to make that just proved that, and no one ever talks about it. All anybody ever talks about is bad first-round draft picks, right? That's all anybody ever says about Josh. Oh, he's a bad first-round draft pick. They don't talk about all the great things and the savvy things that they do in March and April every single year, and this is one of those that was, like you said, was a complete no-brainer.
Yeah.
You would have had zero money flexibility whatsoever,
right,
if you just told,
right,
Carlos Dunlap, okay, we're paying you $14 million this year. Zero. You'd be done.
Yeah.
Your free agency would be done, and you'd be left with holes at corner. You'd be left at holes in the offensive line.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
you have the flexibility to do that. And as you pointed out, the flexibility to do that, and potentially
sure.
when this market cools off considerably for 30-something pass rushers, which it will over the next 3 weeks when a dearth of them get cut, I think it's the only move they possibly could.
Well, I think two things. First of all, you just gave me like 18 different things to respond
Good.
To there, including the elite conversation, and that's a bigger one for just this segment. So we can talk about that later. But again, we're sitting here when they acquire Carlos Dunlap. When that gets annoying, let me know. When they acquired Carlos Dunlap, we all said, well, look at his contract for next year, so they'll have to restructure that. He's not
right.
playing on that deal, and everybody was totally cool on that day acquiring a guy who you knew was not going to play for his current salary for 2021, yet when it does happen, people lose their mind. I don't get it. So I think we have to let this thing play out, number one. And then number two, I think it would also be almost malpractice on the part of the Seahawks to re-sign him, or excuse me, keep him on the roster for that amount for next year. And then number two, it would also be malpractice to not make him an offer, which I'm guaranteeing you they've made him an offer. Mm-hmm. I'm guaranteeing you the Hawks and Dunlap's agent have talked about what they can give him in 2021. So if he can't go out and find a better deal, which I got to be honest with you, I think there's a chance he will find a better deal, and I think he will take off, but I also think that this is the risk that you took when you traded for this guy, that you were going to have to either A, restructure his deal and get him to agree to that restructure before free agency started, or you were going to have to let him walk and risk him taking off. And we all said, hey, if he ends up taking off and gets a better deal somewhere else, that's good news for the Hawks. That means he played well when he was here. It's not Carlos Dunlap's fault the Seahawks did not beat the Rams and advance to the second round of the NFL playoffs. So I thought it was a great deal. It was a risk worth taking. It made their defensive line better. It made their pass rush better. But even if Carlos Dunlap does take off and they can't get him back for less than the $14 million, they're going to have money now to go out and spend on other players at that position. And I think they need to, because I think that the defensive line improved a year ago. The pass rush improved a year ago. But two of the big reasons why it improved was because of him and Jamal Adams blitzing from the secondary. Jaron Reed had a much better year. Jaron Reed, though, had a much better year when Carlos Dunlap showed up.
Yes.
So all of this kind of ties in together. So you've got to find somebody to take your spot. I'm seeing a lot of people throw around Daryl Taylor on Twitter. Daryl Taylor has done nothing for this football team. Zero for this football team. Doesn't mean he can't, but he has done nothing so far for these guys. So they're in a bit of a precarious situation right now. And I still think it was the right call to not bring them back for $14 million. They were going to be in this position no matter what. But you look at it, man, Jamal Adams has 1 year left on his contract as the fifth-year option, which who knows if he'll even play for that money in 2021. Jaron Reed's got one more year left. Benson Mayo is a free agent. Dunlap is a free agent. Alton Robinson is a second-year guy with 3 years now left on his contract. So they're in a bit of a precarious situation without a ton of draft picks. So I think what they do with this $14 million is going to be one of the most important decisions this football team makes this offseason, if not the most important decision, what they do this offseason. This is a huge fork in the road type moment, and I'm with you that I generally trust John Schneider and Pete Carroll, but there's a lot of people that growing sense of maybe skepticism out there, you know that, Dick, that they don't trust him. And they're going to have to turn this thing around in a year where they don't have a lot of draft picks. They don't, for right now, still have a ton of money, comparatively speaking, to other franchises out there. And, oh, by the way, the quarterback may want to trade. So I think that elite status that you talked about, let's see it on display in the next month or so.
Well, I think I would give caution to Carlos Dunlap. You better not wait too long before you sign. You better come crawling back to Seattle fast. If in the next 2 weeks you don't see something you really like, you better come back to Seattle fast, because let me tell you a cautionary tale of Jadeveon Clowney. I vividly remember the reports that were coming out in the very beginning of what Jadeveon Clowney was going to command, and it was 4 years, $72 million. That was before free agency started. That was the number that was being tossed out. The Cleveland Browns were heavily involved in that, and Jadeveon, now, not to say he definitely would have gotten
He was never getting that deal.
Okay.
Ever.
But he wasn't getting 1 year, $13 million in March either.
Yeah.
He was getting multiple years. He was getting $15 million a year for multiple years, and he ended up waiting and waiting and waiting and firing his agent and waiting some more, and he got 1 year, $13 million. So I would caution Carlos Dunlap to watch that and not do the same thing.
Well, Dunlap's 32 years old. I mean, Clowney was 26, I think, when that whole saga was going on with him. So, yeah, a bit of a different story. The problem is, again, Carlos Dunlap is not looking for $70 million. Carlos Dunlap is probably looking for a 1 or a 2 year deal from somebody, and that's likely the max he'll get. If he can get the $14 million he just gave up for 1 year, if he can get $20 million for 2 years, he's probably gone. And you know how this works. It's the same thing we talked about with Byron Maxwell and the same concern we have about Shaquille Griffin. All it takes is one idiot GM to give this guy a bunch of money, and the guy's out the door. So I think he's going to sign fast. Free agency starts in 9 days.
He should sign
fast. I'd be very surprised if in a week and a half from now this guy's still a free agent. 3:13, we're going to break. Big news coming out of UW. Puka Nacua gone. Transfer portal, out the door. Why? What happened? What's the story? We'll talk to him about it next on Softy and Dick.
In one app.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Huskies and the Kraken. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
On third down and 10, pressure coming, steps into it, finds a crossing, Puka Nacua. Nacua's got a first down on himself. He breaks clear. He'll score. Touchdown. Puka Nacua from 65 yards.
Well, I think we're all hoping to hear a lot more of that in the 2021 season. I think after a play like that, you're pretty fired up for sure. And then you get the news today that Puka Nacua is leaving the program. And you're like, oh, that kind of stinks. At least for Husky fans, it does. Well, joining us on the air right now, say goodbye to UW and explain his decision. Now, former Husky wide receiver Puka Nacua is with us on the radio show. How are you?
Not too bad. How you guys doing?
I'm good. I'll be honest. This is not the conversation I thought we'd be having with you. I thought we'd have you on the air getting all fired up for 2021, talking about going to the big house, going to Michigan, playing in Ann Arbor, you know, getting that 12-game schedule out of the way. So maybe explain to people, if you can, Puka, why we are sitting here for our very first conversation with you talking about you leaving Washington.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely wasn't an easy choice and definitely not how I planned things out in my head for my future here at UW, but some family issues that came up and just some stuff with my family that I know I needed to be there and be able to be there to support my family and help them out in the best way. And that's kind of how I came to my conclusion of, you know, entering the portal.
So, Puka, you know, obviously some Husky fans would feel like, oh, there's got to be something going on within the program that Puka doesn't like. So you're saying none of that. This was purely a family decision.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I got to play as a freshman, and I mean, I still remember my first touchdown. Like, there was nothing like it. The energy that I felt there at Husky Stadium was I don't know. There's a memory that will last forever. Like, I can, every time I think about it, I still get juicy spinning about it. But yeah, definitely. I mean, Coach Adams and Coach Lake have been good to me. Especially Coach Adams. He's the coach I came in with, and just meeting him. All the different coaches that had come in, Coach JD this year, and especially the shift in culture, not necessarily culture, but the shift in energy that was coming in with Coach Lake. And I definitely, this is not how I wanted it to go, but
yeah,
family has always been something that I wouldn't be anywhere without them, so I know I got to take care of them.
Can you talk more about that, about what's going on with your family that led you to make this call to go back home?
Not to get that, I'm probably not to get too personal, but just some things with some my family members that just needed to be addressed and take care of and make sure that I'm there to help everybody. Just be close at home and help my mom out, my grandma as much as I can.
Gotcha.
So obviously your brother's in the portal as well, and there's only one school where your family lives in Provo. Should we assume that you and Samson are going to be playing football for BYU?
I'm not too sure. That definitely would be a great plan, and I'm sure Mama would love that for us to be home, but mm-hmm. kind of seeing how things are going to plan out. Talking to different schools, but... yeah, the future, I'm excited for what the future holds, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, Puka Nacua is with us, and I mean, I can hear it in your voice, right, that this is not the way that you wanted this to go down. And was this kind of 100% your decision, or do you feel like there were maybe other people that were helping you kind of maybe steer you away from UW to get back home to help out the family? I mean, I'll be honest with you, just the tone of your voice, it sounds like you're leaving almost begrudgingly.
No, I wouldn't say not necessarily, but I mean, family is everything to me. It's a big part of my culture. Just how I was raised was to always be there for my family and support my family. I saw my dad do when I was younger, and some I saw my brothers and I tried to do as I was growing up. But no, it was a decision I had to come up and make. It definitely wasn't an easy one, but I know that taking care of my family is always going to be the right decision.
Puka, obviously, there is an ease of transferring now that has never, ever existed in college sports before. And maybe talk about the timing of this. I mean, would this have taken place? Would you have transferred if if this was 2005 or 2010 when transfers were kind of looked at as, there's something wrong with this guy. And now everybody's transferring. Did that make a difference?
Not necessarily. I'm not really too. I didn't really don't pay attention to that stuff too much. But just with the circumstances that surrounding my family that arise, the timing of it was not. It oddly seemed to fit. But yeah, it definitely wasn't something I was planning just because everybody else was doing it.
Yeah, I got you. Well, listen, it's a new phenomenon for sure, and it's something everyone's got to deal with. And I think, again, this is supposed to be about the kids. So if this is the right call for you, then, it's the right call for you. But Puka Nacua with us, and this wacky 2020 season where you just played in three games, obviously, and you missed the Stanford game. A lot of guys came down with COVID. Did you get COVID yourself, by the way?
Yeah, sadly, that was the week I got COVID.
Wow, what was that experience like to go through that?
It wasn't the greatest thing. I mean, we were slowly getting cases in and out of season and stuff, but luckily I was asymptomatic, so I didn't have any symptoms. But it definitely wasn't the easiest thing to watch the game from inside my apartment.
How were the comings and goings of the players? Obviously, that must have been tough for you guys, must have been tough for the school. I mean, what were some of the regulations to try to prevent that from spreading within the team?
The best we can with social distancing and with the amount of guys we had on our team, we split up our meeting rooms. We weren't meeting. Meetings were on Zoom, trying to lift in different groups and practice as much as spread out across the field as we could, and making sure everybody was distancing. And, I mean, honestly, from a player standpoint, I feel like not a lot of guys, I mean, during season, it was almost like a fall camp vibe of, I mean, we go to practice, get our class done, and then stay home, protect the team was something that we had talked about, not going out and making sure that everybody would be safe and ready and prepared to go play in these games.
Puka Nacua again with us, announcing today he's going to leave UW and enter the transfer portal. What do you think you'll miss most, man, about your teammates and being on Montlake and being a Dog?
I'm definitely going to miss my teammates a lot, but just the energy and connections. I mean, I had never really been out here in Seattle, and living in the city is definitely different than back in Provo for sure. But I feel like I've learned a lot, and I've enjoyed the experience out here. But I'm for sure going to have to make my way back out here sometime.
You've got some great insight that we would love to have on this wide receiver core, because we have not seen a lot of these guys play. So give us a breakout. Like, who's going to step up for Puka Nacua and be the guy or the couple of guys next year that you think are going to have great years for the Huskies?
I'm really excited for those guys. I know Coach Adams is going to get those guys prepared, but I know Terrell Bynum's coming up. He's been waiting his turn for his breakout year. I'm excited for TB. He's putting in a lot of hard work, but I'd say the freshman class, I'm really excited for those guys too. I think Husky Nation got a little bit of those guys in the Stanford game with Jalen and Rome, but yep. Shorty's going to be in there too, and there's always AO and Spike, who are just guys. It's a good room. I mean, I love being a part of those guys. Those guys compete all the time, and they're all great, crafty football players who all succeed in their own different ways. So it's been great to learn from the guys and watch those guys work. But I'm excited for the freshmen to come up and make a name for themselves, and the big brother TB.
I love it. Well, let's leave this on a positive note, because you're taking off, obviously, which is the best decision for you, and I think everybody respects and appreciates that. You're not the first UW player to transfer, and you won't be the last, for sure. And we've had a bunch of guys on the air that have transferred. It's kind of just par for the course in 2020-21, and they've all had great things to say, right, about the coaching staff. So if there's a parent of a high school football player out there, maybe even a wide receiver, who's considering their son going to play for Jimmy Lake and Junior Adams at UW, what would you say about that?
I definitely would say don't hesitate. I mean, Coach Adams, I think, is one of the best in the business, and Coach Lake, with the way he competes and wants everybody to compete and hold the high standards for the team, it's a recipe for success for sure.
No doubt. Hey, listen, man, best of luck wherever you end up. We appreciate you doing this, man. And if you end up playing the Huskies one day, it'd be fun to see you on the opposite side of the field. And we'll root for you in every game except for the ones you play against the Huskies. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me. That's fair.
You got Puka Nacua. You bet. Hey, thanks, man. Best of luck. All right, keep in touch. Thank you, pal.
Good deal. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You bet. Puka Nacua with us on the radio show. I mean, did you take away from that what I took away from that? That he's kind of going begrudgingly, that doesn't want to leave, but kind of maybe thinks he has to because of whatever's going on down there in Provo with his family?
That sounds like a guy who has been through a multitude of very emotional phone calls and FaceTime calls over the last couple of months.
Absolutely.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, it really did shed some light, because, you know, anytime somebody transfers, the first thing you think of is, well, he's not happy with the school. He's not happy with the coach.
Totally.
He's not happy with the offense.
Right.
He's not, I mean, that's the first thing you think about. And I think he put to rest all of those
absolutely
thoughts.
Well, I think the guys that transferred before him, Ty Jones and Jordan Chin, from those perspectives, it made sense from a football standpoint, because
right.
they knew where they were on the depth chart.
Right.
I mean, if you're Jordan Chin and Ty Jones, you've been around for a while, You're seeing Roma Dunze. You're seeing McMillan. You're seeing then Puka Nacua. You're seeing this Polk transfer from Texas Tech come over. Racanelli's here. Spiker's here. Osborne here. Cade Otten is a pass catcher, right? I mean, at best, you're like fifth or sixth on the depth chart, if not even worse when it comes to targets from Dylan Morris or Sam Heward. So from those guys' perspectives, I get it. But I do know this, that there's been rumors for months about Puka Nacua taking off and going back. He's from Provo. His brother, Samson, is leaving Utah as well. So if they both end up in Provo playing for BYU, I think you kind of have your answer right there as far as what happened. But he absolutely sounded conflicted. And look, for me, you know, is it a big deal? Well, Christian Capel will join us at 6 p.m. tonight. And we'll talk about how big a deal this is on the DEFCON meter. You know, Puka Nacua taking off. He certainly was going to go into camp as your number one wide receiver.
Yes.
I mean, there's no question about that. Puka Nacua was your number one wide receiver, and Cade Otten was your number one tight end. So the combo of those two guys playing together with a sophomore quarterback in Dylan Morris and an offensive line that brings everybody back, I think it was exciting. So I don't think that you can sit here and say, well, I was fired up for Puka Nacua for 2021, but him taking off is not a big deal. You can't kind of have your cake and eat it too. I will say this, though, that they are more, I think, prepared to withstand this loss because of the guys they have behind him. They played a bunch of freshmen a year ago. They got the kid Polk who can play right away from Texas Tech. They've got Terrell Bynum coming back off the injury. The cupboard is not bare at wide receiver.
Well, and also, you're not losing numbers. I mean, Puka Nacua had 16 total catches here.
Right.
I mean, so it's not like you're losing a guy, as talented as he was, you're not losing a guy that caught 60 balls his freshman year and caught 25 balls in four games his sophomore year. He caught 16 total passes. So
sure. What could he have been, though?
Right.
That's the point, because what did John Ross do before he became John Ross? John Ross was nothing.
Agreed.
In 2015, John Ross and Dante Pettis didn't do squat. Then they blew up in 16.
So I would have liked to have that guy that had a little more experience out there along with Bynum that, that now you don't have. You just have Bynum with the experience. But I think at least those numbers, if not the production, are going to be kind of just – they're kind of just going to dissolve into Adunze and McMillan.
Well, the numbers will come from somebody unless the Huskies plan on throwing the ball like 50 times less than they did a year ago. But, you know, again, you know, one of my questions for Christian Capel at 6 o'clock is how attractive is Washington for big-time wide receivers? I mean, the guy literally had a Zoom call where he wore a hat that said run the ball. For God's sakes, we know what his system is. I think Jimmy Lake's system, for this thing to really work, what he truly needs is the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
He needs dominant offensive linemen and dominant defensive linemen. So the JT Tuimoloau thing, I mean, that's a killer, right? If he ends up taking off and going to Ohio State, where most people think he's going to go, and to lose two of those big three in the state of Washington, that's a blow, man. I mean, you can't just, you know, sugarcoat it and say, ah, it's no big deal. Well, you can overcome it, but for now is all we have to talk about, because the guy's coached in four games. That's a blow. If we can't sit here and say Jimmy Lake's pro-style system needs to be dominant on the line of scrimmage and then just dismiss losing a five-star defensive tackle from your backyard.
Yeah, I can't dismiss that at all. I mean, that's elite no matter whether you're in COVID or not. And, you know, I'm not going to say that he's gone yet, but yes, all indicators are that he's not going to go to UW. It's just such a tough time right now. I don't really worry too much about, and we've talked about this before, I don't really worry about the 2021 class very much being small, because there's just not a lot of scholarships available for the UW. They got a ton of guys coming back to this football team. Now, if 2022 shapes up to be another smallish, you know, fourth, fifth in the conference type of class, then the red flags will start going up for me. But right now, I don't have any.
Well, I think the red flag should go up when they lose games. That's when the red flag should go.
Which I don't think they're going to lose a lot this year. So
yeah, and I just think that it's like the Mariner baseball team every year. For the folks that think they're going to stink, I would just say give them a chance to show that they stink. And maybe you'll be right when it's all said and done. But look, I know there's a lot of consternation out there, a lot of concern about what's happening with UW. And all the guys that had no time to get into rooms and show their faces, guys like Darrell and Rolovich and Jimmy Lake, they're really struggling in a lot of ways in recruiting because they have not been able to show their personality at all. What Jimmy Lake needs the state of Washington to open up Husky Stadium for fans to come watch the team play, and he needs to get his ass on the road and start getting into living rooms. That's what he needs, yes. And he has not had a chance to do that at all. 3:39. I got a poll I threw out there today. I'd like to get an update.
Update on the poll.
On that poll involving our confidence level and the guys at the VMAC. Next on Softy and Tails.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Huskies and the Kraken. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All righty, boys and girls, Christian Capel will join us on the radio show at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll talk some UW football with him. We actually have some breaking news to get to on the radio show. You don't say. I can't play two drops at one time, so hold off on that one. Well, you can just say you don't say.
You don't say.
The Cowboys and Dak Prescott have agreed to a brand new contract. So that takes one team off the board as a potential destination for our friend Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks. Nothing new on money, but reports everywhere, Rappaport, Garofolo, Field Yates, blah, 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 all reporting that Dak Prescott has a new contract with the Dallas Cowboys. So that leads us, by the way, to a poll that I put out earlier today on Twitter.
Update on the poll!
You may have seen it, by the way, at SoftyKJR. God, I feel like a schmuck pumping up my own Twitter account. Follow me on Twitter at SoftyKJR.
If nobody's going to pump it up, you might as well.
Ridiculous, man. How much faith do you have in Carroll/Schneider to deliver another Super Bowl team in Seattle? Gave you four options. Zero confidence, little confidence, decent amount, or tons. 14% say none, 43% say little, 37% decent, and 5% say tons. So we're talking 57% of respondents so far. A lot of votes. 6 hours, almost 4,500 votes already. 56% say they have zero or little confidence in Pete Carroll and John Schneider to deliver another Super Bowl team. That's not even a championship. That's just make the Super Bowl. In Seattle. What do we make of this poll?
Well, one of the options you just throw out, because the people that are voting none are just trolling your poll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
The people
that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, because those people that voted that, I would like to have them come tell me, because if they have no chance, then you come tell me what coach GM combo. Give me about a list of about 20, right?
Mm-hmm,
you got a list.
Mm-hmm.
If you say they have no chance, then you got to give me a list of at least 20 other coach GM combos that are clearly superior to Pete Carroll and John Schneider. And I was just looking back during the break. NFL Network on January 1st, 2020,
okay,
put out the top 10 organizations of the 2010s, all right? And the Seattle Seahawks... Remember, this is only 15 months ago, and during that time, they went 1-2 in playoff games and 12-4 in the regular season since this poll came out. Okay? 12-4 and 1-2 in playoff games since this poll came out.
Okay.
They were number two to the Patriots over the last 10 years.
Yeah, that was a year ago, though. That's not today. That's 15 months ago. Why are we citing that?
So we only evaluate a coach and a general manager based upon what they've done in the last, which in the last 15 months have been pretty damn good, 12-4 and 1-2. But even if you were to say that's terrible, then you're basically telling me that you think Pete Carroll and John Schneider are amazing if a 12-4 season with a playoff loss is terrible and gives you no chance to win a Super Bowl.
I think losing in the first round's terrible. I would agree with that. So
losing that game to the Rams were terrible, but that should have only a very partial indication of how good a coach and GM are.
This has been going on for 6 years. They haven't gotten past the second round for 6 years. What are you talking about? We're not talking about one game. We're talking about 6 years worth.
Every year, the faith
in some fans gets exponentially lower as the years go by. I mean, you want me to put a poll out that asks how much faith do you have in them to win a championship after they win a championship? And we're talking about how people feel today about the team. And today, 57% say little or none.
Well, and again,
I wouldn't vote for zero either, but I think it's going to be difficult. I mean, look, we talked about this, like last month, that the amount of time that has passed since that championship to get back to a Super Bowl and to win it, there's nobody does that in the NFL. nobody allows that kind of time to go by before they get back without having made one and then win it again, right? Vermeil went with the Eagles in like 1980 and then 20 years later got there with the Rams, but he didn't win it. So the odds of him winning it again after this much time and having to rebuild the entire franchise, I mean, the odds are stacked against him in a huge way. No question.
I refuse to evaluate the entirety of somebody's career based upon one playoff game.
Well, but that's not what we're doing.
I refuse to do it.
That's not what the question is today. Evaluate the career all you want. He's been phenomenal in Seattle. Anybody who says that Pete Carroll has not been outstanding as the head coach of the Hawks,
let me rephrase,
is ridiculous. We're talking about how you feel today, given the challenges the Seahawks are having, given where they are, given some people's perceptions that Pete Carroll has been unable to evolve offensively. Now we're talking about the potential that Russell Wilson may not be here at the start of the season in 2021. The idea that you're asking people how much confidence they have now in them doing it again is the question, what they did over the course of their career.
Okay, let me just ask you this then. You put that poll out on January the 4th, 2021.
Yeah.
That's 2 months ago.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
The Seahawks had just finished the season winning 4 games in a row and 6 of their last 7. They finished with the best record in the division at 12-4.
Mm-hmm.
What is the answer to that poll? Because the only thing that has changed is one football game and one Russell Wilson interview where he'd say he'd like better production. That's the only thing that's changed in that time. So
I don't agree with that at all, but
okay. All right.
Continue
so what,
on your current path.
What has how would that poll be significantly different if you asked it 2 months ago?
Well, it'd be significantly different if you asked it 12 months ago or 18 months ago. That's
I'm
not
just
the point.
About two months ago.
Dick, the point of the poll wasn't how did you feel 6 months ago or how did you feel 2 months ago. The point is how you feel today.
Right. But
what about that don't you get?
Here's my point. Why would your feeling of Pete Carroll and John Schneider change so significantly in a two-month period where one football game was played? That's my point.
Because that one football game was in the playoffs. And they've lost in the first or second round for 6 years in a row. And oh, by the way, your point about the only thing that's changed from Russell Wilson's perspective is one interview where he said he wants better protection. What are you talking about? His agent mentioned teams.
That's all I've heard Russell Wilson say.
His agent mentioned teams he'd play for.
Okay. Colin Coward.
I don't know. I don't know what you're even talking about here. Like
I'm talking
Colin
about
Cowherd.
I'm
really?
Talking about the
so
difference.
His agent comes out and says, "Here's the list of teams my client is willing to play for if he can't stay in Seattle," and you're just dismissing that as nothing.
No, I'm just talking about the DEFCON difference between the national media and the local media because nobody in the local media is jumping off bridges like the national media.
What are you talking about? They're all talking about trade scenarios. You were talking about trade scenarios last week. I know you were.
We were having fun with it, Dave.
Oh,
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Okay, all right.
And I said that at the time.
It was real for me, Dick. It was real for me.
It was real for you, okay.
We got to pick this conversation up next on 950.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.